So random.
You're listening to the Real and Random Podcast. I'm your host, Rashida, aka Randomly Rashida, and today I've got a very special guest. Her name is Letitia Russell. She is a human resource professional, mentor, speaker, and author. And she's going to give us some empowering information about interviewing, resumes, freshening those things up, some job skills advice, etc. Because what I believe for sure is that there's a shift in the world today based on COVID, and people are going to be moving in and out of jobs, maybe retooling themselves or trying to figure out how to exist from a job professional perspective. So Letitia, let's get right into it. Give us a little bit about your background.
I currently am in the field of human resources. I've been in HR for probably about 17 or 18 years now. I am what they would call a generalist. So ultimately, anything dealing with HR, I touch. Anything from thinking about your resumes, and when you talk about retooling earlier, making sure that it's always updated, regardless of how long you've been enrolled. I do things such as training and development, negotiating. And so really, anything that runs from A to Z as it relates to HR, that is what I do. So I look forward today to being able to arm you with some tools and techniques in order to stay fresh in the market today for you.
Absolutely. And fresh is exactly the word we want to use. Fresh and current. And let's talk about the big ticket item, the resumes. Give us some tips and tricks and do's and don'ts on all things resume.
I always say it will depend on the individual. And what I mean by that is, how long have you been enrolled? Are you looking to stay in the same line of work or business that you've always been in? Or are you trying to change it up? You always want to make sure the reason length of service makes a difference is the length of your resume. Some people will say, oh, your resume shouldn't be any longer than one page, but it depends. It could be 2 pages. It could be 3 pages. And so what you want to do is make sure that the goal is to get in front of the employer. Once you've gotten in front of the employer, you've already done the hard part. And so you don't want to make sure your resume is just filled with a bunch of information that you know won't necessarily be important. You want to make sure you hit the high level points. So what is your objective? What are you looking for? When you look at the job description that you are looking to potentially move into, take some of those key points that's in that job description, move them onto your resume, right? A lot of people think, oh, I can't do that. But you can absolutely do that. The important part is making sure that you are able to speak to them.
So you just hit on 2 good points, and I'm so glad you said that. I'm in the technology field, and usually the people who come seeking me out are recruiters. They're not necessarily technical people, but they've picked up on some words along the way. So when you said, look at the job description and jot those items in your resume, that's a good scanner, because that's what recruiters are going to do. They're just going to scan for the buzzwords in your field.
Yep. And you're right. You hit it right on the head. Recruiters, so they ultimately take your resume, put it in the system, and they scan for those keywords. And so you want to make sure that your resume has those important keywords noted. The other thing is manage your expectation. So you want to make sure sometimes you might be required to do 1 or 2 resumes depending on what you are doing. And so let me give you an example. Let's say you've been in retail your entire life. Being in retail your entire life, your resume speaks to just retail. If you want to now shift gears and do something else, you want to look at that retail resume. What skills are transferable that I can now move into another industry? And then you might want to do another resume as it relates to this new industry that you are wanting to move into.
Gosh, you are killing the points, I swear, because people don't realize that you can have 3 and 4 resumes depending on the job, because otherwise you're clouding up this one resume with a bunch of irrelevant stuff. I do want to go back for a second when you're talking about resumes and how long they should be. I was always told maybe you go back, I don't know, 5 to 7 years. Now, if that equals 2 pages or 3 pages, it is what it is. Is there a certain length of time that you say people should go back?
We're in 2020 now. I'd probably say 7 years. If you feel that you have something on your resume that's just simply not relevant to what you are doing today, it's okay to pull it off. The other thing that you could do, most resumes, you will have 2016 to 2017, and then you have the title, and then you have the company in which you work for. As you begin to go further down on your resume, it's also okay to just simply put, and I'm just going to throw something out there. It's okay for you to just put Time Warner 2016 to 2017. Keep it at that. DirecTV 2017, 2018. And I'm just throwing dates out there, right? You see the difference? You don't have the details on those two jobs. You just have the name of the company and the year. That way, some people feel like, man, I don't want to leave off this awesome organization or company that I used to work for, but instead list it. You just keep those two things related to the company.
Oh, that's good. And I would have never done that one. So that was
Yeah.
news for me too. Now, what I do, say I'm working at, I don't know, we'll say Time Warner, and that's my current
Right.
job. You know, they will always ask you, can we reach out to your previous employer? And I want to know why they say that. But before you answer, I'll put undisclosed current location. I'll put the industry. So for example, if it's Time Warner, I'll say current company is telecom company. So I don't give you the exact name, or I'll say company confidential. The message I'm trying to communicate is I'm not going to give you that information until we get further along in the process. No need for you to know everything about me if we're not going to consummate this marriage. So should people put their current company on their resume?
Yes, I would. Everybody is different, but I would because they won't actually call your employer until you've gotten through the process. I would still put the information in your resume. What is the fear or concern of putting it? In addition to that, what if you didn't list this confidential organization and come to find out it is a competitor?
Well, that's a good point. Duly noted. And I think it also depends on what field you're into. I think if I was in retail, it would serve me better to just put down Macy's, TJ Maxx, or whatever. So some of this is industry specific too. Now let's transition into the interview. I've been on so many interview panels, and for whatever reason, the feedback for each candidate can vary from, oh, they're twitching, they're sweating, they're nervous, they're too qualified. I mean, I literally had someone say that about a candidate. She was working on her doctorate. She was in technology, and they said she's too confident.
Wow,
Oh
really?
my God. And you know, in technology, there's a big deficiency in minorities and minority women specifically. So I was excited to have a minority woman interview for this job. And the only feedback they could say was, she's too confident. I was like, oh no, we're gonna have to do better than that one. Because this guy over here was sweating. This one was twitchy. This one couldn't answer no questions. And all you could say about her is that she's too confident. What the devil? So I was through the roof. They ultimately did hire her, thank God. Can you be too qualified? Can you do things that are off-putting in an interview?
You can. And I'll share this quick story. I can remember applying for a job. I have my master's. I can remember being told that I was overqualified. And it didn't happen just once, it happened more than once. And it was that moment of overqualified. I've done everything that I needed to do. I got my degrees. I've been working in a field. Like, what does overqualified look like? It depends on the company. When you think about being overqualified, in most cases, employers are referring to, and I'm going to give the example of being in this pandemic right now. A lot of people, unfortunately, have been laid off. Their jobs have been impacted in some manner or another. And I'll give the example of I'm in IT. Can't find anything in IT. So I'm going to try and work in a different industry. But this different industry will pay me a little less than what I'm accustomed to. And so when you go through that interview process, or better yet, you haven't even gotten the opportunity to go through the interview process. Once your resume has been submitted, a lot of times they will look and say, I'm just going to make the assumption that, this individual is just trying to look for something. Don't really have the qualifications. They just need a job right now. And in some cases, they are automatically making the assumption versus sitting in front of you and asking you that question and allowing you to answer the question in your own right. And so sometimes it is a matter of you are just trying to find anything right now. Employers might pick up on it. You might have too many degrees or too many qualifications that they feel as if once you start, You will only last for a good 6 months until you find some, or until you find something else, and then you will leave, which then costs that company more money to interview, train, and get someone else on board.
So you're saying they're going to exclude you based on what they see before they even give you a chance to get in the door?
Many times, yes.
Yeah. And that's what I think they were going to do to that candidate and say, well, why would you want to work here if you're working on your PhD? Well, yes. Let me worry about me and you worry about you is what I would say.
I know, right? And that's the tough part. You know, you can't speak for yourself. You're being judged before they're even able to have some face time with you. But what I say to that is why it's so very important to make sure that your resume is up to date. Use your cover letter to tell the story as well.
In her case, she finally decided to take off the whole PhD stuff, which is sad because you're a Black woman, you're young, and you've earned that. But that's the very thing that will exclude you. And she saw it happen with numerous jobs that she interviewed for, so she had to take it off. The other thing that I see in technology in particular, I have this thing where I say you have to be dumber than the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you agree with that, and does that cross all jobs? But for me in technology, if I'm interviewing, it seems like this button heads thing. I want to be smarter than you. I need to know more than you. And it comes across in the interview.
You're right, but that pulling your qualifications that you have worked so hard for off of your resume so that you can try and ultimately fit in, because that's what you're trying to do, is fit in and get the job. Look, be your authentic self. And whatever that looks like, don't dumb down for someone else. Don't dim your light for someone else. It might take some time for you to find what you are looking for, but do not pull off what you have worked so hard for in order to get through the door of someone else's corporate America.
Good stuff. Because, well, you know, it's all human, right? And we don't know what people are going through or how they're feeling insecure. Like the manager might go, well, she might come in here and just try to take my job. People bring their insecurities to the table when they're interviewing, I believe. And then they reflect that in how they exclude you. I think that happens.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Can you give too much of yourself away in an interview? Can you be overly chatty?
Yes, you can. A good friend of mine, she said, Letitia, I've gone through the entire process, 4 or 5 interviews, and I'm wondering why I'm not landing the role. And she said, sometimes the leaders will come in and they get comfortable, and I get really comfortable, and I get to chatting, and I said, stop it. You want to be personable, and you want to be nice. You don't want to be stoic. But what I will say to you, even if that person comes in with a T-shirt and they done sat back and they just, like, I'm your homegirl, don't. Still maintain that professionalism. It's okay to smile and laugh every so often, but don't get too comfortable until you get that job.
I also feel like the interview is a two-way conversation. I'm interviewing you just as much as you're interviewing me. I think people miss the boat on this one when they turn the interview over to you and they say, do you have any questions? I hear so many people say, no, I'm good. And I'm like, that is not good, because it almost sounds like you're not in it to win it, like you're not committed. So I'll bring about 3 or 4 or 5 questions.
Look, they're courting you and you should be courting them as well. In this day and age, you are normally interviewing with 3 or 4 folks at 3 or 4 separate times. You need to have questions for 3 or 4 individuals, 3 or 4 separate times. Don't go in and ask the same questions, because guess what? When they all come together and discuss you, they're going to say, oh, she asked me the same question. The questions that I normally will always make sure you ask is, can you tell me about the culture? Right? You want to know if culture is important to you. You want to know from that leader what their thoughts are on that culture. I would ask, what is your management style? The other thing that I would ask is, can you tell me what your expectations are for the individual in this role? The other question, look, I can give you questions all day long. The other question that I would ask you is, what does success look like for the person in this role? The other question is, can you tell me why this role is open?
Yes.
So they're telling you all of these good things of why the position is open, what are the expectations. It really aligns. And so I have 2 questions. These 2 questions make some people uncomfortable. And I'm not saying you have to, but I do it. Can you tell me, based on my background and the interview, do I meet some of the qualifications that you're looking for? Most times in an interview, they're face-to-face or Zoom now. You don't know. I don't know if they were feeling me. And granted, they don't have to be honest with you. But at that moment, they could say, yeah, you meet some qualifications. Or I'm actually impressed. I'm going to move you on to the next interview.
Okay.
And then the last question, when they're like, okay, we have other interviews to go, I always smile and say, oh, you can stop looking. I'm your candidate. And that's an opportunity. They'll laugh with you and smile, and, you know, it kind of humanizes it. So those are just a few of the questions that I will ask.
Well, I'll normally walk out, you know, and everyone shakes your hands, and I'll say, I appreciate your time, and I look forward to being a part of your organization, meaning I've already put myself there.
Yep, that's a good one as well.
We're killing it today.
Do not be afraid to take notes.
Right, I agree. Because that may spawn a question, so when they turn the interview over to you, here's your opportunity to talk more about what that person just said, because you wrote it down.
Absolutely.
Now let's talk about negotiating. That's the fun one and always the tricky one. I'm always curious to know, the recruiters may call you and say, hey, how much are you making currently? And I'm like, whoa, you called me, now hold up. Keep calm, none of your business. And of course, if I'm making, I don't know, 30,000, I'm never gonna say, oh, I'm making 30. Wrong answer. I'll say, I'll inflate maybe by 20,000, depending on what your function is and what you do, right? But in technology, it would not be weird to say, oh, I make $80,000. That should be normalized, right? So do you feel like people should inflate their salary?
Absolutely, hands down, don't ever give the exact amount. If you make $30,000, I always inflate it and say at least 34,000, 34.5 or 36.5. So there's no exact percentage. It just depends on how I feel that day. And it honestly depends on the job, because for me, I've done my research. So I tend to know what that market is typically paying. And so I will inflate it based on that. And then at that point, I will say, can you tell me if I am in the range? And they'll tell you immediately yes or no. But you don't want to undersell yourself. But again, I know it's a thin line, because you don't want to oversell from a salary perspective either. But you always want to make sure that you negotiate if you are fortunate to get an offer.
Absolutely. And you have to do it up front, because in most cases, once you commit, when you're talking to a recruiter and you agree, okay, we're going to do $50 an hour, there's oftentimes no going back. Although the art form of interviewing is you got to pay attention to what's being said. And that's why, like you said, you got to write stuff down. So I had this interview. I didn't even want to take the interview, but the recruiter just kept hounding me. I said, fine, I'll do it. And dadgum if I didn't get the job. But I was not wanting that job at all. And she settled in. We agreed to a number. And I was like, okay, very good. Well, as I started listening to the manager, who was one of the people who interviewed me, I said, what is it like a day in the life in this position? And he started going through it. I'm like, is it 24/7? Is it, you know, on call rotation? Because my number changes based on all those things. And he started going into what he had to say. And I called the recruiter back and I said, oh, hold up. What you said and what he said are not the same things. And I'm going to err on his side, because he's living the life. He's the one hiring. I'm going to go with him. So with that being said, I'm going to need you to up that number by $20 more an hour. And she goes, oh my God. And I'm like, oh yeah. Because what I don't want to do is get into a situation where I feel played. Is that a good approach?
I've been extended an offer. I do not recommend doing this, but, and I did go back and I asked for extra 5 or 10. I can't remember, but I have done it after I accepted the offer. I don't recommend it. It's okay every so often. Always say thank you and can I have a day or two to think about it? That is your time to make sure that that salary will fit your lifestyle. And you can simply say, is it negotiable?
I know in technologies, the recruiters will come up front and go, okay, how much are you looking to make? And it's like, well, whoa, I need the details first. In those cases, sometimes it gets a little tricky, because you can commit up front and then you get all the filler information later and you're like, well, then my number's wrong. And then they'll say, well, here's my range. And then you have to go through that whole process again. So it does. I think it's industry specific and it depends on what the job is.
It does, because I'll tell you, I've had recruiters that have reached out, and I so appreciate when a recruiter wants to discuss salary up front, because you don't want them to waste your time and vice versa.
Let's talk about confidence. What makes for a confident person in an interview?
Honestly, going in knowing your stuff. Going in knowing that you have researched the company, that you know your background, and you might raise your eyebrow when I say that. But a lot of people, they have this resume. They've been in a job for so very long that they don't know the first thing about, tell me about yourself. That is the one question that they will ask in the very beginning. And that is the first question. It allows you to have kind of that first impression, right? And when you blow it, or you begin to ramble, or you can't really answer that question, then it knocks you out. Know your elevator pitch. Know what's important, and you got to go in there with a level of confidence like you've never had before. And it's different now because we're all via Zoom. Honestly, you should be more confident being via Zoom versus being in person.
So what are maybe the top three or four things that your About Me should encompass?
Let me do you one better. Tell me about yourself. My name is Letitia Russell. I've been in the HR industry for approximately 17 years. At high level, let me tell you a little bit about what I've done. I give them those high level bullets of each job that I think is relevant to the job that I'm applying for today. The type of organization that I'm looking for today is, tell me about yourself and why you are sitting here ultimately in front of me today. Pause, and then allow them to move to the next question. I don't go into, I have two children, I like to do X as a hobby. A lot of people will go into those personal things because of what? They are afraid to just have open space.
It's a complete look. You walk in that room, you own that thing, you shake their hands firmly, and you sit down on the edge of that seat, don't slump, and you just go in there.
Very true. And it's no different now that we're via Zoom. Eye contact is still important.
Very much so. I would agree. Because that means you're certain about what you're saying, you're committed to the process, and you know what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Should people be afraid, if they've been in the job, to ask for a raise?
Absolutely not.
Now, how does that conversation work? From an HR perspective, how should that conversation start?
Look, I always say, and I know you've heard the terminology before, closed mouths do not get fed. The only thing that they can tell you is yay or nay. And let's say beyond your review, you've gotten great feedback from your clients, you've gotten great feedback from your boss. I would go and say, maybe during your one-on-one, I've done a great job. You know, how do you feel like I'm doing? And I would ask your leader that in the moment. And based on what they are saying, I would say, I wanted to come and I wanted to ask, is there room for me to receive an increase? And instead of you just asking for the increase, go in with a number. Do your research so that yet again, you don't allow them to make that decision for you.
I 100% agree. I had this incident. Something went wrong and I had to pull the all-nighter like Friday through Sunday, and the VP stayed there with me. It was in the dot-com days, maybe 3 weeks later or so. And I realized, you know, I'm kind of good at this and everybody knows it. So let me go get my money right quick. I went to my director's office and I already knew in my mind that he was going to say, well, where are you coming up with this stuff from? So I went in and I said, hey, I want to talk to you about a raise. I feel like I would like to get more money. And he said, well, why do you feel that way? And I said, I'm glad you asked. And so I just kind of started throwing up bullet points of things I've done, my wins within the company, and how I feel like I'm kind of a hot item is what I was saying indirectly. And he says, okay, well, what number do you think? And I said, well, I've been doing my research and I feel like for what I'm doing for this company, here's the number I have in mind. And he said, okay, let me think about it for a few days and I'll get back with you. I'm like, okay, fair enough. He came back, he gave me exactly what I asked for and stock options.
Woo!
Okay. Now I was empowered. I had never done that before.
Yes,
it was about, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing when you're selling yourself in the marketplace. You got to own it. You got to know what you know, and you got to command it.
This is not the time to shy away.
Right. Because I feel like even now, some people, they're on the verge of, well, do I leave because I'm not getting what I'm supposed to get? Because it's cheaper to keep someone and promote them internally than it is to hire someone off the streets. So oftentimes you'll be like, heck, they just hired Susie and she's making like $10,000 more than me. But they just moved me laterally over here to this job. So for me, sometimes that means I got to look at inventory and go, okay, does this company value me and what I'm doing? I also get the business side of it that says it's cheaper to keep her. I get that. But you have a decision to own for your career to say, okay, I'm not getting what I need. The love isn't here. It's time to go forward and move elsewhere where I can get what I want. And I think some people who get stuck in these companies for 10, 15 years, they get so comfortable, they lose their marketability factor. Or that they even have marketability. You see what I'm saying?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Gone are the days where there's loyalty on both sides. I think you have to just go for what is right for you. And if you're about the money, go get the money because it's definitely out there. And if you don't get it, somebody else will.
You got it.
So it comes back to, again, owning your stuff, knowing your stuff, and commanding it. So with that, we talk about retooling. Do you think it's appropriate now than more than ever that people retool themselves, or is that even necessary?
It just depends on what you're looking for. It depends on what your desire is. what makes you happy, what is not just a job for you. All of those things are things you've got to ask yourself when you think about retooling yourself. And so I can't just outright answer that question because it depends on the individual and what that individual is looking for.
In the midst of all this pandemic and people are losing jobs, I think maybe being more marketable, you have to either get that extra certification, maybe if that's like the thing for your industry, or maybe not.
If it's easy for you to find something else, go for it. No need to rebrand or anything. But if you are finding difficulty, again, and I always say this, good, bad, ugly of what we have unfortunately been through with this, use this time to figure out what is it that you really want to do. What gives you that level of confidence and security? Find that within yourself during this time, because once this is over, and we will see past this, you won't have time like this again. So make the best use of this time and then making sure that you are staying up on your skills. And so again, it depends. Do you have to go get new certs? It depends.
What is your coaching about?
My website is www.letitiabrussell.com. And what I do is coaching or consulting on all things related to preparing you for that next opportunity. And so it is my resume up to par? Am I really showcasing my talents? It's time for me to interview. I don't know the first thing about interviewing because I've been out of touch. I will walk you through and prepare you, whether it's one call or several calls. I am available for questions. I am available for, I've gotten the offer, now help me with negotiating. What are some things that I should look for? I've gotten an interview. I don't know what questions to ask. And so I am that consultant that will arm you with all tools necessary to at least make you successful through that interview process. I give you the tools. It's up to you to do what you can with those tools, but I at least arm you with everything so that you feel prepared.
Boom. And you've heard the nugget she's been dropping today, because I'm like, hey, I wasn't so bad myself now.
You were not at all.
With no training. I just figured this stuff out on the fly and was like, I know this industry left and right. Yeah. The other thing for me in this industry is being an African-American woman and a techie. The two go very nicely, and I'm okay to accept that. Knowing that, I kind of exploit that somewhat too, because it's my thing. Confidence matters. Even if you don't know that you're confident, you better look like you are. You better fake it. That whole first 10, 20 seconds makes all the difference in the world.
It absolutely does.
Well, I am glad we had this conversation, girl. You have probably saved a lot of people today.
I appreciate you having me on. You can reach me at www.letitiabrussell.com.
And caller, I had a couple of people reach out to me, and that's why I wanted to reach out to you. And I knew this was a viable topic to have this discussion, because I'm all about empowering everyone, not just women, but everybody, and helping you be the best that you can be. So I try to find the top people to share the knowledge that they have to make everybody be successful. Because even I've been doing this for 25 years, and there's still some stuff you said today. I go, oh, that was pretty good. So you're never too old to learn new stuff is what I'm trying to say. So reach out. Well, Letitia B. Russell, it has been a privilege to talk with you, and definitely give her a check. She's the truth. Just throwing that out there in case you ain't figured that out already.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right, girl. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure. As I always say, your best and brightest days are ahead. This is Rashida, aka Randomly Rashida, and this has been the Real and Random Podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, follow, share, and leave reviews and comments, because we as podcasters, we like that sort of stuff. And I will catch you on the flip side.
That's so random.